I turned myself off. Welcome back, Smith. I did fine. Thank you. Throughout this weekend, I hope that we are aware that it's Labor Day weekend, as well as Burning Man weekend, and the man did burn last night. Yes. More for all of us. We invited people, and if you didn't, it is A-okay to bring a symbol of your labor with you this morning. I've already had a parent say, my child is the symbol of my labor. So we may have a kiddo up here, which is also A-okay. But just to gather ourselves and to be mindful over this weekend, we want to remember that as people that have been part of the Methodist movement, we have something called our social principles, which are statements that throughout time have been ratified by a larger body of our denomination all the way back from the very beginning. And so through our social principles, we recognize and support the right of workers to organize into unions of their own choosing and to bargain collectively regarding their hours and their wages and the conditions of their employment. And as we worship, I hope we're aware here in Sacramento and around, but especially here in Sacramento, of the United Farm Workers and their effort to raise awareness of Assembly Bill 2183, the Agricultural Labor Relations Voting Choice Act. That's the name of, it's easier to say 2183, right? And that 2183 would give farm workers the option to vote by mail in elections in the same way we vote for candidates for political office. And that's important because, as you can imagine, sometimes if you only can show up in person to have a vote like that, you might be vulnerable to intimidation by those that do not want you to organize. So maybe you've also noticed all around that organized labor unions are on the rise again in our country for very good reason. Yeah. So this morning we invited you to bring symbols and representations of our labor so that we might have visual reminders, and Chloe brought some from the farm, as we root our lives in God's ever-unfolding grace, which encompasses all of God's creation, and it includes the labor of humanity and the toil of the land, which receives our work, and of God, who co-labors with all of us, so that our lives, indeed, the whole of our beings, make a difference out in the world, in our workplace, in our homes, in our schools, in our preschool classrooms, the blue room, right? We want to make a difference. So we're going to be led by our music team, and I invite everyone to stand as you are willing and able. And if you did bring something that is a symbol of your work, my yarn's already down there. As we sing and you are moved, please feel free to bring those forward. And if you want to write a word on a envelope, that's okay too. So let's stand as we are able and sing together. Let's go, team. And welcome back, Omari. I forgot. Oh, Lord. Woo!
You gave your life to make a difference. And you gave your life to make a change. You welcomed us to your table.
to sing with me, and it's very easy. Here we go. It's literally three words. Oh, 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 just like that. Oh, 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 one more time. Oh, 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 make a change. That's it.
Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 make a change.
God who labors within and through us, help bring our full attention to our work in the world as we enter into an act of co-creation with you. Show us how all the ways we work have dignity and purpose, whether paid or unpaid, whether our heart's true calling or just to be able to support ourselves. Guide us in challenging systems that exploit and enslave people through their labor, and help us to build communities where everyone can thrive by the work of their hands. Support us in the endeavor to do everything with love, remembering that each small act of compassion is woven together into a great tapestry of kindness. Bless our hands as we offer our gifts in service to your unfolding grace.
sing away.
I was just wondering, guide me in the morning while I run this place. Welcome to the tables at Central United Methodist Church. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I'm the Sunday morning coordinator for the table. We are grateful to root our lives in grace through weekly worship on Sunday morning, to grow in faith with weekly kitchen table, and to reach in love out at the table farm with weekly volunteer shifts. Everyone is invited to celebrate the autumnal equinox out at the table farm on Thursday, September 22, 5:30 till 7 p.m. We will have cider for all, and we would love for you to bring pumpkin bread to share. There will be craft for our young friends and live music. We hope to see you out at the table farm. For those of us gathering at the table live, Chloe is with you as our host this morning. Please message her in the chat if you have any questions. If you'd like to learn more about our community of faith or stay in touch, please text the word new to the number on the screen. If you like to connect with others and learn more about how we practice our faith at the table, our co-pastors will lead a 6 weeks Growing in Faith series in person here at the table. Our current session is full, but our next session begins November 1st and registration is on our website. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared for those online. And we always encourage you to visit our website, thetableumc.org, where you'll find a Connect pop-up in the bottom right-hand corner and can connect there as well. I invite you to stand as you're willing and able as we continue to worship. We invite you to sing, and the lyrics will be on the screen. Live so God can use you.
I'm gonna live so God can use me anyway, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna live so God can use me anyway, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna work so God can use me. time I'm gonna work so God can use me
anywhere,
anytime. I'm gonna pray so God can
use me.
God can use me
anywhere, anytime.
I'm gonna pray so God can use me.
And I invite you to be seated, which most of you have already beaten me to. It is a gift to be back together with you all in this space. And it is a gift also to have Austin with us on drums this morning, a recent UOP grad. We want to invite our youngest friends to make their way down to the A-frame. Harper and her mom and Eleanor are going to help us to make our way down there. We will share a story. And then next Sunday, for those of us that are here in person, we have more brave kiddos making their way back there. Next Sunday, we will make a transition from our summer children's ministry toward godly play. And so we will gather here in this space just like we are now. For those of us that are in person, we'll have nursery care down the hallway in the A-frame. And our children, kindergarten through sixth grade, will begin to make their way back into our godly play sanctuaries where we will work together both at 9:30 and at 11, we'll offer a godly play so that parents can know those things are coming, big transitions as we make that shift. And we're grateful for all of the team of folks working together behind the scenes to move back into those spaces, our sanctuary. It'll be our first time in there in like 2.5 years, I think, in the godly play sanctuary. It feels like forever, so we are thrilled to be back there. We are going to share now from Psalm 139 this morning. I encourage you, those online, to follow along with the screen, or if you prefer, if you have your own Bible, or there are some in the pews, if you prefer to follow in that way. I'm going to share from the New Revised Standard Version. And as we share this, I just want to invite you to think of that moment, maybe, when you have been in that intimate space of prayer with God. And sometimes your prayer and what you're listening to and what you're saying, it goes in some directions that you think, I can't believe that just happened. And I think Psalm 139 goes in some of those spaces too. So hear this translation of the New Revised Standard Version. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down. and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? I ascend to heaven and you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end, and I am still with you. But God, oh, that you would kill the wicked, God, and that the bloodthirsty would depart from me, those who speak of you maliciously and lift themselves up against you for evil. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We're going to move from this psalmist ancient prayer into a sung one. This is Carrie Newcomers, and I invite you to stay seated and allow this prayer to sink into the depths of your hearts. This is the work of our hands.
Today, while it rained, I washed the jars, and then I lit a flame, set the water to start, and at the end of the day, lined up to cool and seal 12 pints of spiced peach jam, 20 jars of dill beans canned from an old recipe that my mother gave to me, because it's good to put a little bit by for when the late snows fly, all that love so neatly kept by the work of our hands. Of soup they clean, and I believe that we should bless every shirt ironed and pressed. Salute the crews out on the roads, those who stock shelves and carry loads. Whisper thanks to the brooms and the saws, dirty boots and coveralls, and bow my head to the waitress and nurse. Tip my hat to the farmer and clerk, all those saints with skillets and pans. Water.
So beautiful. Thank you so much for all of the music. Clearly, there's a treasure trove of music about work, huh? Yeah. That first song, You Gave Your Life to Make a Difference, it's one of our very favorite songs here. Because I think so many of the conversations that we have with one another are about how we want to make a difference in the world. And Rachel Kurtz wrote that song. She's a friend of ours from Minneapolis. And it echoes, I just think, not just ours here at the table, but reverberates throughout the lands, the longings of so many people. We want to make a difference in our lives, to have meaning, and we want to try to do some good, you know? There's a great artist, Henry Moore, who's, he's known for his sculptures, really. And there's a famous quote from him I want to share. The secret of life is to have a task, something you devote your entire life to, something you bring everything to, every minute of the day for your whole life. And the most important thing is, it must be something you cannot possibly do. So for me, that's the laundry, right? I don't think that's what Henry Moore was talking about. And yeah, our washing machine broke this weekend. And we laugh, and I laugh, but there's a book that I really love that I have read throughout the years over and over again by a man named Jack Kornfield. The title is After the Ecstasy, the Laundry. And here's a quote from Jack Kornfield. Enlightenment does exist. Unbounded freedom and joy, oneness with the divine. These experiences are more common than you know and not far away, but even after achieving such realization, after the ecstasy, we are faced with the day-to-day task of translating that freedom into our imperfect lives. We're faced with the laundry. Holding that, it would seem as though the work of making a difference is found very close to home. The French Jesuit philosopher, he was also a paleontologist and a geologist. A lot of people don't know that. Teilhard de Chardin, he says it like this. By means of all created things, without exception, the divine assails us, penetrates us, molds us. We imagine it as distant and inaccessible when, in fact, we live steeped in its burning layers. So God is with us in all things, like tea leaves in a pot of water. We are steeped in the divine. And Psalm 139 that Matt shared for us with us is known to be one of the most personal expressions in Scripture of the Old Testament's understanding of God. And it expresses, and Matt kind of referred to this, an understanding of the human as completely enclosed in a divine reality. And it tells how the psalmist is fully known by God. It's also true that things take quite a turn there in verse 19. And honestly, just to be transparent, verses 19 through 22 are not included in the lectionary. But Chloe and I met, and we kind of felt like that was cheating, and so we put the whole thing out there. We don't want to skip over things just because they're challenging. New Testament scholar James May explains that in the Psalms, it is common to describe the wicked as those who threaten devout followers of God. Notice that the psalmist doesn't ask for any help. The wicked don't seem like a personal threat to the psalmist's life. Oh, that you would kill the wicked, O God, and that the bloodthirsty would depart from me, those who speak of you maliciously and lift themselves up against you for evil. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. They are dangerous. They are dangerous because of the way that they live outside, for the psalmist, of the Jewish community of faith. For the psalmist, it's just unthinkable to live that way. But clearly there are those who do, and this is just further inspiration to invite God even deeper. Because you notice it ends with, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." What's the way everlasting? How do we invite God to search us? How do we allow ourselves to be known by God? Or for that matter, how do we allow ourselves to be known by anyone? Seems often true that when we meet a new person, our first question is often, "What do you do?" Right? I'm not sure that we even think about it really much before we ask. In this way, it's kind of like a reflex in which we root our identity in the identities of everyone around us in the jobs we do. At least here in the West. It is true that our jobs have and are an integral part of who we are, but only in part, right? If we want to be truly known by God and anyone else, there's so much more to share than our job descriptions. There's also our work, our labor. Belden Lane is a Presbyterian theologian, and he teaches on a Jesuit faculty at St. Louis University, and he wrote a really compelling piece about the difference between our job and our work, and that is recorded in a book called The Solace of Fierce Landscapes. Included in that is a story of a man, and the man's name is Peter Mathiasen, and he took a trek of over 250 miles across the Himalayas with a biologist. Maybe many of you have heard of him, but I had never heard of him. Mathiasen was a writer, and he was an activist. He was a naturalist, and he was a philosopher also. The job of the biologist on the trek was to study the migratory and mating patterns of the Himalayan blue sheep. Mathiasen went along to write about the travel experience, but also because he knew it would afford him a possibility along the way to see maybe the rarest of the great cats known as the snow leopard. The snow leopard is a symbol of ultimate reality for many, that fleeting beauty we see only in occasional snatches. They hide behind gnarled trees and granite cliffs at 4,000 meters, and it is rarely, if ever, spotted. There are very few in captivity. Sadly, they're in captivity. So the job, the study of the Himalayan blue sheep was actually just a cover. It was an excuse that made the biologist and the writer look legitimate in the eyes of the world while they did the work of searching for what mattered the most. And here's what Belden Lane wrote about it in part. To consider one's labor as penultimate, as a mere cover, an acceptable facade, seems almost blasphemy. William Wordsworth was right. In getting and spending, we do lay waste to our powers. In our jobs, we look for an ultimacy they can never provide. The holy is seldom captured in the place where we seek it most. While we're preoccupied with the Himalayan blue sheep, it slips onto the periphery of our vision in the furtive silhouette of a great cat, the snow leopard. Another way of saying that is that the vision is distinct from the job. It happens of its own accord, but it comes in the very process of attending to the job with all its drudgery. So, we have been here at the table in the process of our restoration campaign for quite a few years now. And we have completed quite a bit of the much-needed upgrades and improvements. And right now, we are in the midst of finishing up our commercial kitchen, and there have been a number of unanticipated delays. So many details. Important as they are, I want to be really honest, it's drudgery. And so we spend time preoccupied with the dust, staring at the plans, trying to mitigate the delays, problem solving so that everything fits. While on the periphery of our vision, over the month of July, are the silhouettes of six stunning young people who learned the jobs of baking bread and farming, while practicing the work of answering the question, how is it with my soul? Teenagers, as they built bonds of trust and love with one another, if we are not mindful, we will miss that. And I get why we do. Responsible people don't just take off on quests to possibly, maybe, hopefully, if you're lucky, catch a glimpse of a snow leopard. Don't even think about it. And that's because mountain spirituality so often seems irresponsible to the people down on the plains. It isn't acceptable to say, I'm going on a trek to see the rarest of big cats, the snow leopard. It is my acceptable thing to say, my job is to study the Himalayan blue sheep. I want to say it differently, since many of us, I think, are not taking off for the Himalayan mountains anytime soon. Many of us don't think it's acceptable to take the kids to the park and just play. No, we bring along a book to read, right? Just in case the kids play on their own and we can make that time more useful. I don't usually bring a book, I bring knitting. Some of us don't think it's acceptable to go to a movie unless it offers us insights that will better us in some way. When you choose a book to read, for fun, I hope some of us do that, do you make sure it is one that will inform you? Or can you just read without that guarantee? Some people don't think our small groups, our kitchen tables, have enough content. They aren't given takeaways from the Bible that they can use for their next Thanksgiving family argument. Theologian Martin Buber tells the story of the Hasidic rabbi who was approached by a pious Jew complaining of certain other Jews staying up late and playing cards. His response was, the rabbi, "That's good. They're learning great concentration and becoming skilled at remaining awake for long hours. When they finally turn to God, see what excellent servants they will make for God." I like that, Rabbi. Matthiessen recorded what he learned after that trek. The purpose of meditation is not enlightenment, he said. The work is to pay attention in the ordinary events, to be fully present, to stay fully present in the now. God's mystery is always unfolding. So just to finish the story, Peter Matthiessen never saw the rare snow leopard on his trek. Never saw it. But ironically, the biologist he tagged along with, who was occupied with logging all of his meticulous observation, spotted one 2 weeks after Mathiasen left him. The way to be known by God and to know God is to accomplish our jobs and not diminish the importance of the work that is ours to do. The great temptation is always before us, which is to confuse the cover of our job with our ultimate concern. My own cover is that of a co-pastor. That's my cover. It's a way I can look responsible while attending to my work, which is loving God with all my heart and soul and mind and loving my neighbor as myself. That's my work. And so many of you shared yours, and so many of you hold and know what symbols might have been of your work, of your job, symbols of your cover. So the question is, how might your cover invite you to attend to your work?
Following, you might say, in the way of the psalmist, Jesus too turned toward a most intimate of images to invite people into a job that would point them toward the work or ultimate concern. And it was at that end moment in his life when he could have done anything to guide them in that direction. And what he chose was a cover. A meal, breaking bread, and sharing a cup. On the surface, it's just a job, but within it is our ultimate concern. And it's in this most ordinary of events that we do several times a day that Jesus invited his followers to see and glimpse that snow leopard that was with them all the time. And so we turn, following those long line of people who have gone before us, hoping that by practicing our faith, by breaking bread together around a table to which all are welcome, that God might invite us ever deeper into the ultimate concern that God has for the world. And so to prepare for that, we pray what the church calls a prayer of confession. It's a way of recognizing that too often we get caught up on the trail and we fail to glimpse toward the periphery of our vision. We fail to see the divine in the meal that is before us, and we acknowledge that. And so we invite you to stand as you're willing and able, those here in the sanctuary and those online, to prepare your hearts and minds in whatever way might feel most true to you as we pray together. A prayer that comes to us from a Native American scholar and activist, Vine Deloria. And so I invite us to share with one voice this prayer of confession from Vine Deloria. The lands of the planet call to humankind for redemption, but it is a redemption of sanity, not a supernatural reclamation project at the end of history. The lands wait for those who can discern their rhythms, the peculiar genius of each continent, each river valley, the rugged mountains, the placid lakes. All call for relief from the constant burden of exploitation. Who will find peace with the lands? The future of humankind lies waiting for those who will come to understand their lives and take up their responsibilities to all living things. Who will listen to the trees, the animals and birds, the voices of the places of the land?
hear these words of assurance, which also come to us from those who came before us. And I say that out loud so that we might be connected and aware of how long we have been God's beloved working on these things. Show yourself to those in need. Heal the sick, fill the hungry, give freedom to our prisoners, console the faint-hearted. This way of Christ's beauty and love is yours, is ours, this day and evermore. Let's say amen.
Amen. And I invite us to join together in the call and response that is the church's practice, job for recognizing the belovedness of God in each and every neighbor around us. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
You are the giver of every good thing. You created the visible world and all it contains. You inebriated it with inexhaustible springs. You said, "Let us make humanity in our own image." You gave us souls endowed with reason and judgment. And you gave us bodies endowed with the five senses and with movement. And you brought us into this paradise of delights. But we scorned your commandment, and you rightly thrust us forth from paradise. But you did not wholly reject us in our lost state, and you promised to release us from the bonds of death so that we might live and rise from the dead.
Compassion descended and took up residence in the bread. Fire and spirit are in the womb of her who bore you. Fire and spirit are in the river in which we are baptized. Fire and spirit are in our baptismal font, in the bread and in the cup are fire and Holy Spirit.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
Christ's body is newly mingled with our bodies. Christ's blood, too, poured into the veins of creation. Christ's voice is in our ears and brightness in our eyes. In God's compassion, the whole of Christ is mingled with the whole of creation.
Let us pray together the ancient words that Jesus taught his disciples, which have been shared and changed and loved into by so many throughout the generations. And this is the Lord's Prayer from the New Zealand Prayer Book. It's a paraphrase. Let us pray together.
Eternal Spirit, earth maker, pain bearer, life giver, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all,
loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echoes through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the earth. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever.
Amen. And so, God, we pause. We pause to pray over the symbols of our labor which are here before us. The jobs and the work that are known in the depths of our hearts, may your blessing go with us in each day, in each moment of our laboring. And we pray as well over these gifts, over this bread and this cup. Make this for us the body and the love of Christ, and make us through this feast your love alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome at the table of God's love, and all truly means all. For those of us who are gathered together online, we encourage you to bring close to you your juice and your bread or whatever elements you are gathering and using this morning. For those of us here in the sanctuary, we are going to shortly move outside, and Sarnit will guide everyone by coming down the center aisle and dismissing us one pew by a next, right? There are places to pray around the perimeter of our sanctuary. You are welcome to come and just look, of course, at those things that people have shared as symbols of their work. You might notice in your walking and in your praying that there's some new art that you all created that is here in the room. Please know that there's nothing during this time that you can do to make a mistake. We are in God's divine and glorious dance together, and we watch over one another in love.
Friends, this is the bread of life and the body of Christ broken for you, and the cup of God's love poured out for you and for all.
Thank you.
We encourage those who are praying with candles to stay for just as long as you need in that space. And loving God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery, this divine dance through which you are revealed to creation in the simple act of breaking bread through the sharing of a cup at a table to which all are welcomed. May your peace make us one and call us to love one another in the name of Jesus Christ, our hope. Amen. We want to encourage you to continue wondering about how God might be inviting you into next steps. We hope that you'll take time this morning to share of your own generous ways here with our community. There are places to do that here in the sanctuary, online as well. Many of us make what we call deep commitments, ways that we promise to gather together as a community, and part of that is sharing of our financial resources. And we want to encourage those that have done that to continue in that way and to give thanks for each and every one of those commitments and gifts. For others, this might be your first time making a gift to this particular community or another, and we would invite you to wonder about what generosity looks like to you and how God might invite you to align your financial resources with your vision of God's love alive in the world. We have a number of other next steps that we would encourage you to take. For families, next Sunday, just a reminder, we will move toward godly play at both 9:30 and at 11 o'clock. That's for our kindergartners through sixth graders. We also are offering, following up on the discernment that we've been doing about our relationship with our broader denomination, out of the context of those conversations we had early in the summer, a next step is what we're calling Methodism 101, a space to gather together and learn a little bit more about some of the nuts and bolts of our denomination. We'll have two opportunities. Those are online. One will be over at New Helvetia, and one will be here at the table, and you could see if you would like to join any of those. I want to invite you to stand as you're willing and able. For those that are online, Chloe will be there in one of the virtual pews. If you want to take that vulnerable step, she would love to connect with you, hear a little bit more of your story, and share a little bit more about our life together at the table. We're going to go out this morning in song together as our music team leads us in Jubilee.
See the morning coming in your eyes. Jubilee, Jubilee. It's shining brighter than the sun in the sky. Jubilee, Jubilee. Jubilee, Jubilee. You're kind of singing, cutting through the noise. Jubilee, Jubilee.
Oh, Jubilee,
Jubilee.
You're
just want to remind you that you have some things up here. You might have gotten text messages, but I am proud of those who put their cell phones up here. You didn't do it. It may, so may. The cover, whatever that is, of our jobs, open us to a lifetime of work as we long and co-labor alongside God. May God guide your feet, your heart, your whole actual beings today and into God's unfolding future. Get to work. Amen.